Hi, I'm Michelle from YFS. Thanks for joining us for our podcast series on stuff you need to know about the law. Joining me today is Nazia and Rebecca from
Watan and Kani.
Hi, guys. That was almost as if we'd rehearsed that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to have a chat about discrimination and the law. But before we get into it, I just wanted to say that the information we talk about today isn't intended as advice. And at the end of the session, we'll provide some information about where people can go to get some advice if that's what they need. Let's get into it. What is discrimination and what should we know about it?
Okay. Well, look, there's two types of discrimination. And I wouldn't be a lawyer if I didn't answer
True.
You by making it sound way more complex than it needs
yep,
to.
That's okay.
But it is important to understand there are two different types, direct discrimination
okay.
and indirect discrimination. And we'll cover off what they are. But by and large, it's when you're being treated unfavourably or differently because of a personal attribute you have. For example, it might be because of your gender.
Mm-hmm.
It could be because of your religious or political beliefs. It could be because of your race or ethnicity.
Yes.
And so it's being treated differently, even though there's no proper basis to treat
right.
you differently.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
And that's direct discrimination.
Okay. So it's directly, it's discrimination directly based on who I am as a person and something about me.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. And often it involves an assumption. So, for example, if you're a pregnant woman,
yep.
it would be discriminatory, for example, to ask you not to come to work when you're heavily pregnant on the assumption that your pregnancy interferes with your ability to do your work. That would be direct discrimination.
Sure, that makes sense. Yep.
yep.
Okay.
So then there is indirect discrimination, mm-hmm. and that's where you're treated the same as everybody else,
mm-hmm.
even though there is something important about you that's something different about you that's important
okay.
and needs to be recognised
mm-hmm.
and some adjustment needs to be made
okay,
to accommodate that.
So I guess what immediately comes to mind for me is someone who might have a disability, for example, whether that may be a hearing impairment or a visual mm-hmm. impairment, that they're able to do the job. It just means that maybe there needs to be some kind of modification of equipment mm-hmm. that needs to occur for them to be able to
Exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. To give you a really simple example of both, let's say you've got a shop that's on the ground floor
mm-hmm.
and a sign in the window says no wheelchairs allowed, and the person in the shop doesn't like people using their wheelchairs in the shop because they've got the opinion that it takes up too much room.
Right.
That would be direct discrimination.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's say the shop is on the first floor. And there's only a set of stairs, and it's the only way
mm-hmm.
you can get in. The person with the wheelchair, and there's no sign saying no wheelchairs,
yep,
it's everybody's welcome.
Mm-hmm.
But the person in the wheelchair can't actually get to the shop because the only way to access it is via stairs, and they
yep.
can't obviously navigate those stairs.
Yes.
That's indirect discrimination because it means that everybody who can't access the stairs in the same way as a fully able-bodied
mm-hmm.
person
mm-hmm.
Is going to be excluded
mm-hmm.
from entering that shop.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. So what can people do if there's been discrimination? And I suppose part of that question would be, does a response need to be different depending on whether it's indirect or direct discrimination? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, look, that's a good question. And look, I suppose it's worth understanding perhaps why you need to know the difference.
Mm.
But no, the response is largely going to be the same in
okay.
terms of your right to be treated equally
mm-hmm.
and fairly
yep.
and free from discrimination.
Yep.
And that arises, that right to that treatment free from discrimination
mm-hmm.
Will arise in various aspects of life. So one will be when you access services.
Yep.
Another might be when you access employment.
Mm-hmm. It pretty much covers every aspect of life, right?
It does.
I think
yep.
it's very broad-reaching
yes.
in society
yes.
for sure. And I think one of the biggest things is maybe people tend to think often immediately just when I'm getting served in a shop or when I'm getting when I'm in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important mm-hmm. to recognise that it's basically just in your interactions at large.
Yeah.
You're entitled to participate in a society that
mm.
is free of discrimination
mm-hmm.
and you're not entitled to discriminate against someone else.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking
yeah.
at it.
So I suppose, you know, like it, being really clear on the different types of discrimination, I suppose the next step would be, what if I feel I have been discriminated against? Can I do anything about it?
Yeah.
Should I do anything about it?
Yeah, look, they're both good questions, particularly coming to the should I do anything about it? Because it's personal. It's often the reason why people discriminate is often based on assumptions or stereotypes, talking about direct discrimination. And that's hurtful for people who experience that. So there's definitely an emotional aspect of deciding that you're going to make a complaint about discrimination. And that's the step you would take. You can make a complaint that the person or organisation you've had dealings with has discriminated against you. And you would take that complaint to the Queensland Human Rights Commission as a first step. Now, the Queensland Human Rights Commission is an organisation that will essentially bring the parties together in a conversation around that complaint. That's the very first step. And so you would access, if you have access to the internet, the Queensland Human Rights Commission website. You may approach an advocate, like, for example, a community legal centre, YFS, or legal aid, depending on the nature of the discrimination and the complaint. But certainly it's the type of thing, if you're going to make a complaint of discrimination to the Queensland Human Rights Commission, you really would benefit from having an advocate to assist you in that process.
And I think that it's probably, I'm imagining a fair thing to say would be that anyone who is accessing further information and or advice absolutely has the right to have an advocate with them when they're understanding processes and what's going on for them.
Absolutely. Human Rights Commission process is informal, and so from that perspective, it's not, you're not going to get sort of tied up in technicalities and processes. It's really about you, if you've been discriminated against, having the opportunity to make that complaint and set that out, and the person who's who's discriminated against you will have the opportunity to respond and give their perspective. And sometimes for the organisation involved, it's a you know, light bulb moment. They might not have realised that they were carrying those assumptions through in their service delivery, or other times they've just not turned their mind to, particularly with indirect discrimination, that something needs to change. So the role that the Human Rights Queensland Human Rights Commission plays is to allow the parties to have their say about how they see the situation, and then we'll hold what's called a conciliation, which is essentially a formal conversation, which is conducted by an individual who's referred to as a conciliator, and assists everybody to talk through talk through the issues and bring it ideally to a resolution.
And you're right. I think that, you know, a lot of these conversations where you've got someone who's formally kind of assisting both parties to tell their story and encouraging understanding, I think that the opportunity for learning in those situations is really positive when it's done with a third party. And I think in that process as well, it's okay for someone to have a support person with them.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I know you've mentioned the Human Rights or the Queensland Human Rights Commission, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say they kind of are underpinned by the Human Rights Act. Is that sort of...
That's a very fair statement. That's right. The Human Rights Act, it's a fairly recent... kind of renaming of what has traditionally been called the Anti-Discrimination Commission.
Right.
So in 2020, a new sort of set of laws came in that transformed the way we talk about it. Also transformed a few other things, but the important difference for people is that we call it the Human Rights Commission and we talk about human rights as opposed to the previous format, which was really focused on the anti-discrimination side of things.
And certainly that's probably... being my age, the anti-discrimination is definitely something that I really understand. And I think the focus on human rights is probably something that's newer. I think it's exciting to have that more positive focus on it, because it is about, we all have rights to equal access and opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about upholding that.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the way I see it anyway.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Yep. It's about making clear what the standards and expectations are. Mm-hmm. One thing I will say about the Human Rights Act, though, as a piece of legislation, it sits alongside what's still known as the Anti-Discrimination Act. And so a person who has been discriminated against would still be pursuing a complaint under the Anti-Discrimination Act in the Human Rights Commission. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be the case that as part of that discrimination, there's some conduct that also offends the Human Rights Act.
Yep. So when we're talking about the Human Rights Act, that's really kind of like the underpinning framework, I guess, around everyone kind of, it's the acknowledgement that everyone has the opportunity to equal access and fair treatment. But when we have the anti-discrimination, that's a piece of legislation, I suppose, that is a way of ensuring
that happens.
No, it's more complex than that.
Yeah,
it's
quite different.
They never make it that easy.
So the Anti-Discrimination Act really deals with it deals with the prohibition against discrimination.
Yep.
It says it's unlawful to take this particular type of action for this particular type of reason.
Yep.
And if that happens to you, you have a remedy, and this is how you pursue it.
Yep.
The Human Rights Act is a piece of legislation that spells out in Queensland what the Parliament has decided are the protected human rights. And there's something important to know about that act, and that is that it applies to the public sector. So Queensland government service delivery, for example, is subject to the Human Rights Act, and it requires government departments and administrators and decision makers to consider those human rights when making decisions, for example, that affect people, and to promote those human rights when it's delivering services or so there's an important distinction between what the two are for. But if you are a person who is saying, I've been discriminated against by, for example, the local council, then you might be saying that's a contravention or a breach of the Anti-Discrimination Act, but you've also offended against my human rights in this particular way, and that forms part of your complaint, but it's important to note they give you two different outcomes.
And so I think, given the complexity of it, and to be honest, I didn't realise it was so complex, right?
Yeah.
Given the complexity of it, I'm imagining that for someone who doesn't understand that complexities, getting advice, getting information is probably the best thing to do.
That's correct. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you're in that territory, then you're really thinking about speaking to somebody who can guide you through some of those complexities.
Yeah, wow. I really, underappreciated the complexities.
I think it's one of those things, again, just being able to recognise and, like Rebecca says, trust your gut instinct that, hey, something's not right here. This doesn't feel okay.
Yep.
There's some places you can go. There's some websites. There's some resources that you can look at to get a bit of a sense of it.
Yep.
But because it is quite a complex landscape, to make sure that your rights are protected, to make sure that you're getting the remedies that you might be entitled or even just getting some clarity on whether you have been discriminated against and why you might not have been, even though it feels offensive to you, that's really where you should be looking at maybe seeking some legal advice. And if you can't necessarily afford to get that, there are avenues still for that to happen. You know, there's community legal services available, there's legal helplines, a lot of legal resources that are available, so that cost is not a prohibitor.
Yeah, sure. So I think that if anyone believes that they're in this situation, as you said, they've identified that something just doesn't feel right and they want to get more information, the Queensland Human Rights Commission, is the website is qhrc.qld.gov.au. Contact YFS on 3826 1500, or as you've said a number of times, there are community legal centres in Queensland, so if you hop on the computer and Google for Community Legal Centres Queensland, it should bring up a list of how you can access those as well. But a starting point, the Queensland Human Rights Commission.
That's correct.
Yep. Awesome. That's okay. Thank you so much. I'm actually quite blown away by how complex it is. So, thank you.
Made it that way.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.